Tonight, he wants to look again at a parable of Jesus. We've been studying the parables for a number of weeks. Jesus did much of his teaching by parables because they were the type of story or the type of lesson that folks would remember. I define a parable as an earthly story or a heavenly story, rather, with an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay, means to place alongside of. Maybe I'll remember the true definition. To place alongside of a parable. This one is the parable of the talents, found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Solomon said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might." A man by the name of Carlyle said this. He said, our grand business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. It will be the purpose of our lesson tonight to look at this parable and to seek God's instructions to us as they apply to us. We'll read the parable. We'll look at some background information, and then we'll look at the various individuals that are talked about in this parable. Beginning with Matthew 25, verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man dwelling in a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own money with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." As we look at the background of the parable, Jesus chose a situation that would be familiar with the people of that day. I am told that at least at one time in the early part of the Roman Empire, they had as many as 60 million slaves within the Roman Empire area. Now, a servant had that particular relationship to his master too. He was a slave. He was a bond servant. A number of times when Paul refers to himself as a servant of Christ, he's referring to himself as a bond servant, a slave of Christ. An example of this master-servant relationship can be seen in the book of Philemon, the one chapter there that talks about Paul writes a letter to Philemon and speaks of Onesimus, the runaway slave, and Paul appeals to him. But we have that relationship. And that relationship was one of life and death. The master, you almost think back to the dreaded times that we had slaves in this country back in prior to 1860s, I guess it was, prior to the war, where the master did everything they wanted to do with those slaves. They owned them. I've looked back in some genealogy. Our folks were poor, but there was one slave that mentioned that one Lonnie's family had way back there. A lot of people had those slaves and let them go. But back at the time, the Roman Empire, these individuals, the master had the power of life and death over slaves. So when a master, a lord, as he's called here too, gave his servant a command or left him in charge of something, he intended for him to do it. And he had the power to do something about it if he didn't. And so faithfulness was required by the servant while the master was away. You know, Paul talks about people being men pleasers when they're working, serving someone else over, and I think he mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. But another thing, as far as the background of this parable, is use of the word talent. We use this parable referring to our abilities because, in a way, it does have reference to the abilities of these individuals, the amount that they were given, and that which they had to give account for. As far as the talent was concerned, Neil Lightfoot has written a number of books on the parables over the years. He's refined them as time went on. He said originally a talent was not a coin but a measurement of weight. But evidently in the time of Jesus, the talent, a measure of weight, was worth, according to Lightfoot, nearly $1,000. I'm not positive about that myself. Of course, if that was in present day dollars, it would be a whole lot of money. But at that time, that would have been a whole lot of money. And verses 14 and 15, we have the distribution of these gifts. The man was going to be leaving his servants. And he had some things to leave with him. He gave them certain funds to take care of while he was gone. To one man he gave five, to another two, and to the other man one talent. And it said he did it according to their ability. And then he took his journey. So servant number one was given five. Number two was given two talents. Number three was given one talent. How do we make some application there? Well, this master was not expecting each one of these servants to have the same ability, to be able to do the same as the other, except something was expected of him for what he did have. As opportunities vary and as abilities vary, we find that we have different responsibilities. I know my daddy just had a third grade education. My mother, I think, had an eighth grade education. But as time went on, we had to you know, at least graduate from high school, and they had some teachers that kind of pushed me along to go to Lipscomb. But if we have an education and we learn about the Bible and we're teaching we're in a position where we can teach the Bible, that's what we ought to be doing. If we don't have that particular training, that doesn't mean that we don't have a service to render for the Lord. Individuals lead singing, also preach. We've done both through the years, most of our song leaders. One thing I've noticed by going to funerals, you know, the food that you see in the back room at funerals, that food just magically appears, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Somebody taking the time to cook it down someplace and knows they took time to go back and Kentucky Fried Chicken like I'd have to do. But most of the time there's some food that is home cooked and is prepared and placed back there, and it's sufficient usually for just about everybody that's there that would like to be eating of it. So there, we have different talents. Some have us the ability to maybe speak publicly, while others of us may be better one-on-one, maybe better in calling someone sick and encourage them. Some are better going to a hospital room and talking to somebody sick, whereas others may ought not be there. When I was in the hospital, my wife was one that could do that. She was better to be there than say, someone else. In this case, it was one of my sisters, but I guess I figured she was going to talk as much as when she usually talks on the phone, so I wasn't in the mood for it right then. But we do strange things when we get under the knife and coming back under the influence. But we have different abilities, and we need to be careful that we use the abilities that we have. But also, I think we see a lesson here that God does not expect us to go beyond what we're able to do. But He does expect us to use abilities we have and not use inabilities as an excuse. I know over the years I've heard excellent preachers while I was at Lipscomb. Brother William Collins, heard him in a tent meeting over at Isaac Litton High School a number of years ago. Brother Barrett Baxter, Betzel Barrett Baxter, BBB. He was a great speaker. Heard him on Herald of Truth. He used to go over with us sometimes to the boys' training school at Jordonia, and have a speech there on Thursday night and speak to those boys. So different individuals, different talents. Ira North wasn't really a great speaker, was he? I didn't think he was a great speaker, but I thought he could talk to people. I thought he was a great teacher. John Hurt was our preacher for a time, and as my aunt used to say, bless his heart. No, John also, I think, was a better teacher than a preacher. And I think some of us relish teaching more than preaching. And really, they're almost one and the same anyway, but Brother John Hurt was the one that came out with the Know Your Bible campaign and the Bible on tapes and Clean Up TV campaign. So we had a lot of great ideas. So we all have abilities. We just have different abilities. Each servant, I think if we look at this parable, received that which did not belong to him. Each servant received that which did not belong to him. The master didn't say, now, you've accumulated this over there, I want you to accumulate more. No, the talents were given to him. The talents belong to the master. The talents, therefore, were what we call trusts, where someone hands you something and you're entrusted to take care of it. So the servant, in essence, was a steward of the master. A manager is the definition of steward in vines. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks about this when he's trying to clear up some difficulties in Corinth. Tried to convince folks that there was not a whole lot of difference in himself and Apollos, that they were all men. They were all preaching and teaching the word, and yet folks were making a difference as to who baptized them. Let's look at verses 1 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So he's saying we are entrusted with the word of God, and that's the way you should look at us. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And then it's verse 7 kind of concludes the section. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, whatever, what we have is from God. And he says, some folks will go around and boast how great they are. And he says, how can they do that? If everything is, if we are under the care of God, and every good and perfect gift comes from God, James says, James chapter 1. And if that's so, he says, why are you going to be puffed up about one person over another person? Your abilities, your talents, and that which you have is from God. All that we have is from God. When we contribute on Sunday morning, we contribute out of that which we've been blessed with by God. We give back a portion of that which He's entrusted in us. Sometimes we say that in the prayer. We need to be careful that that's really our own personal beliefs. Look at verses 16 and 17 back in Matthew 25. Let's look at diligent servants, or the faithful servants, and what kind of attitude they had. Verse 16 and 17. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Isn't it? You know, there's no discussion about their marketing scheme or anything. It just says they did what needed to be done. They took care of what the master had given them and did it based upon what they had been given. They multiplied it to 100%. Now, what about their attitude, the type of attitude they had? In the American Standard Version of the Bible, the word straightway is mentioned. That straightway. And you kind of get the idea the way Matthew presents it, that, you know, that there wasn't a lot of lollygagging around as far as what these men did. They were given this, and they took it for granted as to what they needed to do with it. So effort was involved as far as these individuals. Verse 16 said they went. That's the only thing that would suggest that. But they said they went and they traded. So whatever it was they did it for the purpose of enriching that which they had been entrusted. So they used that which they had been given by the master, and they made use of it sufficiently to add to it. Their aim was, was to say that I've done my best. So when the master come back, they could say that. Their thought could well be expressed in this little poem I ran across. Says, if a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small, do it well or not at all. And I know probably your mamas or daddies or somebody through the years, your teachers, said if something is worth doing what? It's worth doing well. It's worth doing. I heard that a number of times. I'm sure it must have been mom and daddy, probably daddy, because I was the one out in the fields working, and he was the boss. So I'm sure he said that again and again. If I went out there and I piddled around and was hoeing the corn or whatever, or planting something, he'd find out if I was messing around and trying to get the job over with. These two men chose to do well and to do it straightway, to do it immediately. And they took care of that which was entrusted to them. Now, the success of their efforts is indicated by the fact that the 5-talent man received 5 more, the 2-talent man received 2 more. So they increased what they had by 100%. Now, they were not equal, if you look at it in a way, they were not equal in achievement. But they were equal, I suppose, in effort, based upon, you know, what they had. The key to their success then was their attitude, I think. Their attitude. And that would translate over in application to us. Just a lot of times that which we can accomplish is based on our attitude. We don't ever tell a grandchild, we didn't tell our children, now you're going to school, but there's no way that you're going to be able to do what that teacher asked you to do. There's just no way you're going to do it. You're a first grader. You're just not smart enough. First grader has certain abilities. They can build on those abilities. Sometimes we as Christians, we may not have those high up abilities that we think are high up. You know, a lot of times we think that the main efforts done in the church is those people that we see. But there are a lot of things done behind the scene. A lot of things done behind the scene. And I'm sure our elders and Brother Eddie, they do a lot of things. There's a little silly looking apparatus up here that Eddie calls a tape player. It looks like an old cigarette lighter that we used to have. I used to see Daddy with. But they've got that newfangled contraption. You can use that. And somehow or the other, that my voice and your singing will get on the internet. I was talking to somebody the other day, Sister Bona. She said, I heard you speak the other day. Well, I hadn't seen her here. So I wonder where it was I was talking. Wonder what I said. I started to say, what did I say? But anyway, she explained that she had been on the internet. Well, I figured she's probably as old as I am. I said, so I was wondering how she did that. But she said she got her son to help her. So there, you know, there's things that we can do. Eddie's got that on there. He probably didn't ever imagine that Sister Boner was going to get on the internet and find it. Did you bring it up to her? Somebody brought it up to her. See, we don't know who did. I didn't. It didn't cross my mind that if she asked me a question about the internet, I couldn't help her. So somebody did and convinced her that her son could put her on the internet. So she's listening to those tapes. Somebody goes to Sister McCandless's and delivers the Lord's Supper to her and takes by. You know who does that? Nobody gets up and say, I'm going to do this today. You know, clap, applaud for me. We don't know that. It's done behind the scenes. Others are to do things that I don't know anything about, so I can't say anything about it. Talking to somebody on the telephone. People that have been out sick, that can't drive to come to church, they still need encouragement. And they've, even though Sister McCandless can't read, she's got tapes of the Bible. Folks can listen to the Bible. As we get to the point where, you know, where the words don't look near as big as they used to, we can listen to them on tapes. We can afford to buy a tape recorder and take it to anybody that's hard, that can't see very well these days. And buy them tapes of the Bible that don't cost very much. And thereby we keep them, have them listen to our lessons here or listen to our singing here and be encouraged in that way. And in a way feel a part of the group here. And I think that is great encouragement. And I've been visiting, but I haven't done any of those things that I told you about. Somebody else is doing it. Let's look at some scriptures. Ephesians 3, verse 14. As we look at the faithless servant. While you're looking at that, I'll make a comment on another. As we look at this individual, no straightway is mentioned there in Matthew 25. The only thing that this man did fast is he was a fast digger and a fast hider. He went and dug into the earth and hid that which his master gave him and trusted him with. But you know, I've been bad-mouthing this guy for going out and burying it. But I was reading some background on it, and one writer said that really him burying burying the talent or his money, the money he'd been given, was really as judged by the standards of that day, didn't mean he's lazy. It was what they traditionally did as a way of saving money. My daddy put money in socks. He didn't trust banks. He put it in the couch, whatever. Anyway, you will find out I come from a strange family. But that's the reason I'm so strange. See, I get it by design. This individual, though, he went and he hid his money in the earth. He could not be considered as one who had acted faithfully for his master. I'd put this down when I was thinking, all the status quo was his M.O. In other words, just let it be like it is, and I won't lose it. Put it in the ground, put it in the bank. I don't care if it's just earning money market, interest. James said in James 4:17, whom that knoweth to do good doeth it not is sin. I'm sure this particular servant, as well as the other servants, knew what they needed to do and knew what their master expected them to do. Now, this man failed. He failed because he did not have faith in himself. He didn't have faith in his master. And he failed to have enough courage to do the work, even though he might lose. He might risk something. Sometimes when we go and talk to somebody about Christ, or when we try to encourage somebody to come back to church, there's a risk of them saying no. And a lot of times that keeps us from saying anything. Guess what? We don't like to hear no. What a salesman told. Don't allow the person you're talking to say no. That's why I don't like to talk to a salesman on the phone. Or let them in the house. They've been trained to get that foot in the door. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell on your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And you might be filled with all the fullness of God unto him. And this is the verse I wanted especially to get to. Now, him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Paul's not saying that this is a miraculous power, I don't think. So God works in us. We are his workmanship, according to Ephesians chapter 3, 8 through 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In Philippians 4:13, Paul shows that he had a I can do spirit. He said, with a framework of God's will, I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So a lot of times if we'll get out of ourselves, we'll find that more can be accomplished. Then we can accomplish if I just consider, poor little pitiful me. We're all getting older. It's easier these days to say, I have to slow down. And all of us do slow down. Something has to be left out, doesn't it? If a person slows down from what they've been doing, that means some of the things they've been doing are not getting done. Well, we have to prioritize then. That's difficult, isn't it? There's some grandmas that just don't know how to say no to their grandkids. Would you believe that? Nobody would believe that, would they? Janice has that problem sometimes. I don't have near the problem she does. But... She has it. She wanted to bring three kids with us tonight. I told her it wasn't going to happen. Now, one of these days we'll bring them, but our boys behave because I could whip them afterwards. You can't whip kids these days. All right, it's been said that God does not want extraordinary people who do extraordinary things so much as he wants ordinary people who do ordinary things extraordinarily well. And then Abraham Lincoln said this, and you know, we think of Lincoln as being very brilliant. And based on what he said many times, he was brilliant in that regard. He said, God must love the common people because he made so many of them. Now there's a reckoning that comes in this parable. Verses 19 and following. We won't read all those verses again. But the two that were seen as being devoted and faithful servants who let their master know that they could be entrusted with things while he wasn't looking. They were given more than they had originally. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, Paul in comparing himself to others, he said he was an apostle that was born out of due time. And he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul was a very humble man to have done so much. To get so much space in sermons today in churches of Christ anyway. As far as his missionary abilities. His ability to exhort, to encourage, and to get to the point. He's guided by the Holy Spirit. But to get out there and work despite having some type of ailment. Some people didn't like the ailment, whatever it was. And God, he asked God three times. God did not take it from him. But he says he was weak. He said his weakness actually made him stronger. Now the third servant, there in Matthew 25 in this account, this particular parable, he met a different end. This man was afraid. That's one reason that he didn't accomplish. Verse 25, he says, I was afraid. I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and here I give you back what you gave me. And you can say, well, he didn't lose it. You know, he didn't take it to Las Vegas and blow it. But his Lord answered unto him something that he probably never expected to hear. You're wicked, and you're slothful. Now, he did say that what the servant had said earlier, he said, verse 24, this third servant, one talent man, he said, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where you hadn't sown. His Lord answered and said unto him, verse 25, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not. This man was one who accomplished things maybe in ways that we wouldn't accomplish them. But he said, you know, you should have at least gone out and put my money and received interest on it. And he didn't do that. So his master's accusation to him was that he was wicked and that he was slothful. And I'm sure if we were arriving at a conclusion from this parable, if that was not written there, that probably wouldn't be our conclusion. Where do we usually think of ourselves in this parable? Where do we stand? A lot of times we think of ourselves as the one talent person or the two talent. Hopefully we think of ourselves as a two talent, way the one talent. But a lot of us would say, you know, I just don't have talents that are of use in working for the Lord. Jesus had something strong to say to individuals who professed to know him and yet we're not obeying. Matthew 7:21. We've used that verse a number of times in our study of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So God requires of us to render faithful service. In the book of Revelation, one of the churches, John was told to write, be thou faithful unto death. Unto death faithfulness is the thought there. Unto death faithfulness. And if we don't use the abilities that we have, you've had situations. I did last summer, being on my back for a couple of weeks. I was like a little baby when I got out of that bed. I couldn't get out of bed hardly. I couldn't walk. If you don't use, you lose. If you don't use, if we don't use the abilities we have, we lose them. When I was in the Army, the first sergeant and PFC that were in charge, corporals in charge, they didn't ask me to preach a sermon in the barracks. They used language that you wouldn't use in sermons. I didn't get a whole lot of points from what they were telling me because they cursed a lot. So when I got out of the Army, after not having taught the Bible, I read the Bible. I went to classes when I went to church on Sundays. But as far as preaching or teaching or lead, I did lead some singing. I hadn't been doing that in a while, and it was difficult to get back up in front of a crowd. It was difficult to get up in front of a class. I had not used those abilities. I had not honed them down. I was in my mid-20s then. You say, well, you went to college, you're smart enough, you ought to be able to do it. Well, you lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And if we don't use the abilities and the talents we've been given by God, we lose those. Where do we stand? Will we one day hear the words, well done? Or will we, like this other servant, hear the gnashing of teeth, the weeping? I ran across this in one of Jack Exum's books. I think the name of it was The Glory of the Ordinary. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And by the grace of God, I will do. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it? Parable of the good of the talents. Parable of 5 and 2 and 1 talent man. The story there. The application has been made as we've gone along. Tonight, if there's someone here that has studied God's Word and desires to become a Christian, why don't take advantage of the opportunity to do that tonight. If you're a Christian here, and I think most are, or all, and you desire the prayers of this congregation on your behalf, or you desire to rededicate your life to Christ, you have the opportunity as we stand.
There is a free